And now a different perspective on the migrant and refugee crisis unfolding in Europe. Record numbers of people are crossing into Hungary and other European Union countries, largely from the east, and much of the focus has been on Syrians fleeing civil war. But many thousands are also leaving Eritrea, Somalia, Senegal, and other parts of Africa. Karen Jacobson has been researching this African migration for years. She teaches at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University, and she's examined how these migrants make it to Europe using any means necessary. Karen, your research provides us some insight into what's happening with the crisis in Europe right now, but I wonder if you could start by telling us, when people make the decision to leave places like Senegal, how planned are their journeys?
First, let me say that many, many Senegalese and many sub-Saharan Africans do their best to go legally to Europe. They try to get visas. They try to do it in a normal way. But many others are unable to, and then they need to hire smugglers. And increasingly for migration from Africa, really hiring a smuggler is the only way you will get to Europe. For example, in our research, we found that many Senegalese are fishermen. So they will use their own boats and knowledge of the sea to get to Canary Islands. Again, they will have to use smugglers, but they might make the first part, you know, on their own. And then another route would be to go across the Sahara. And there they would have to, again, use the established routes. But often those routes are blocked. And then the smugglers have to find other routes. So they might push their route back into the desert, often along a more dangerous route. And so that's how this web of routes starts to emerge.
So just briefly, I mean, you said that from Africa, at least, it's impossible to get across without smugglers at one point in time or another. Is that true with the refugees and migrants that we're seeing, say, coming from places like Syria now, too?
Yeah. Most of the time, most of the movement and migration that we're seeing, both from the Middle East and from sub-Saharan Africa, will use smugglers of one form or another. It's a multi-million dollar industry.
Well, I was just going to ask, it must be vast. I mean, they are moving tens of thousands of people.
Hundreds of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The market for this is growing in leaps and bounds, and the profits from it growing.
So how much are people paying? I mean, what are they sacrificing to also make those payments?
Yeah, I mean, it depends where you go from, but usually prices start in the thousands, $2,000 or so. And if you want, the more secure and the more you're willing to pay, the more secure your route is. What we've seen from Eritrea, for example, is the problem of people hiring a smuggler, thinking you've got the whole thing sorted out. You've paid to take your journey from, you know, Eritrea or Sudan, wherever you're going, say to Europe. But what we're seeing, and this is a very serious problem, what we're seeing is that these smugglers sell their people, their passengers, to kidnappers, basically, who then put them up for ransom. And there we're seeing some extremely serious violations, people being kept in camps in the desert, people being tortured on the phone so that their relatives can hear them screaming, so that they will pay the ransom.
May I ask, though, I mean, upon hearing that, I mean, for those people who make the journey successfully and who endure these hardships and difficulties, I mean, obviously they send word back that, yes, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't they also send word back that it was terrible, it was dangerous, I was tortured?
Yes. I mean, that happens, yes.
And yet people take on the journey.
You know, this is what makes this phenomenon so curious and interesting, because on the one hand, we know that people know. It's not like it was 20 years ago when there were no cell phones around and people did not have good information flows. Now people know what's happening. But the thing to remember, I think, is that many of these people are really in desperate straits. And for them, there are no other options. And when we talk to people, we say, but are you aware that you could be kidnapped, that you could drown, that you could die in the desert, that you could be in an overloaded water tank carrier that where you're smothered to death? I mean, we've seen this happen. And people say, I know it's a risk that I'm taking. It's my only shot at improving my life for myself or my family. And if I don't do it, there are no other options for me.
I mean, yeah, in the case of Syria, there's nothing left. There's literally nothing left in some of the places where people are fleeing. So there is this surge in this flow of humanity, of desperate humanity that we're seeing now. What do you think are the main insights that your research can provide on the situation that is happening in Europe right now?
Putting up walls and fences and trying to block people with very strict border policies like the Hungarians have tried to do, it's not going to work because people will always find an alternative route. They've been prepared to risk their lives on the sea and the desert, so they're going to find another way. The only way is to stop the war and the conflict, and that's obvious. But the other way is to find ways to create livelihoods for people back in their countries of origin, because that many of the people that we've talked to have said they would never want to make these journeys. So, you know, the notion that we can help countries provide jobs for their people, we can develop countries and provide some options for them, is an old idea. But I really think it's the only way that we're going to stop this flow of people now. Because one thing to note also is that the more people that go, the more these channels of migration are created and ease the way for future generations to go. Because we will see another emergency coming down the track in the next few years, and then we'll see this happen again.
Well, Karen Jacobson has been researching migration out of Africa for many years. She teaches at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and is director of the Feinstein International Center at Tufts University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.